He's teasing you.
I know. I could have given him a paper yesterday. I mean, the last session. His butt was not actually on the chair on time.
What's he going to be
trained? No, your butt was not touching the plastic. You were all, but, oh, yeah, just missed it.
All right. Values. Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So here he's saying that there is really a way to store treasure. So if you do those funerals and you say you can't take it all with you, you might want to change that phrase.
Yeah.
It's not accurate. There are things you can take with you. And as we've said earlier, those are people. Because in the scheme of God's world, people are the most valuable. That's the one that is... And it makes sense. It makes total sense that people are the most valuable. Okay? Then in verse 21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And that's what I was saying about many of the decisions we make are ultimately value decisions, because that's where your heart is. At the end of the day, if you made a decision to do something, you made that decision because you value that thing. Your heart is more prone to that, whatever it is, whatever that decision is. Okay? Now, in which case, if you strengthen your values, this is where I'm going to throw in a little bit of the discipline thing. There are certain things that I probably did not value, and then all of a sudden I said, okay, now that's, I value that. When I was 39 years old, I went for a general checkup and I found out I'm going to die. Okay? I'm going to die young because I had very high sugar, high cholesterol. I'm going to die. Okay? I'm going to die young if I don't fix this. Now, one of my favorites is chicharong bulaklak. Dapat lang, di ba? And there were certain things that I knew. Now, those are valuable to me. But now, the big question is my health more valuable than that? So I've got to make a value exchange here. Right? I got to make a value exchange. One is, I like both. But what is more valuable? Okay? And I want my work. I want to work. I want to preach. I want to do a lot of things. But, okay, if I'm going to get unhealthy... Well, I've got a problem here. Now, personally, I couldn't make the change. My second biggest problem is I love sweets. So I got very high sugar. I had everything was high. My HDL was high. It was bad. My sugar was high. So now I've got to make a decision. Okay, which one is really more valuable at the end of the day? Is my health more valuable than these things that I like? Right? It's a value exchange. Now, I corrected that and I realized my heart, where my treasure is, my real treasure now, my real value is my health. But in the midst of that, I can't do it because I never trained myself to exercise. I never trained myself to do certain things. So in as much as my value now is right, I can't affect it. Herein lies the value of discipline. Where there is a season of time that somebody had to help me get there. And say, okay, you gotta fix this thing. I mean, you gotta fix it. And that doctor sat me down and said, if you don't fix this thing, I remember this because it was Brother Eddie and me. He was the same doctor. And he was saying the same thing. If you don't fix the stress, if you don't fix this, and that's what I realized, I can't be a businessman and a pastor at the same time if I want to survive this. There were some things that I had to start evaluating and saying, okay, these values have to change. But my point in saying that is you may get that in your heart and realize this is where my true values are, but still not be able to make the shift. You may finally realize, hey, I need to come on time. I need to do this. I need to deliver this. I need to improve on my health. But you might not be. That's where you need to understand discipline comes in. Where you're saying, hey, teach me this. Help me here. train me here. I'm using physical illustrations because very often we have that as far as the spiritual context is concerned in our training and in our church, but in other facets of our life, whether that's finance, whatever values there that may be. Now notice also that in verse 22, we find that vision comes after values. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that dark? So often we talk about vision without realizing values come first before vision. I had a long discussion. I'm going to be in Korea next month and meeting with the Global Kingdom Fellowship, which is a gathering. Pastor Manny and I will be there. It's a gathering of mega church pastors from all over the world. It's from all five continents. And the guy who heads that up is a guy named Elias Dantas, who's a professor at NIAC. And in fact, I'm speaking to his group in May in New York. He's from New York. He's a seminary professor. And I had a long discussion with him about this. Because he kept talking about vision and vision. Elias, I don't think that's how it works. I think it begins with values. I think once your values are clear, your vision will be clear. Because once your values are clear, it's easy to see where I'm going. Because my weights, my scales are so clear, I can make a decision. I can see things very clearly. I'll look at one thing and say, that doesn't have any value. I'm not even spending time on that. I look at a movie and I think, that's a waste of time and money. I'm not even going there. Because my values are so clear. I just look at some things and I don't even spend a minute on it. Saves me a lot of time and money. Because when values are so clear, crystal clear, it's easy to set things aside. You get it?
Yeah.
Now, and again, I'm not saying this so you'll follow it. I mean, I was a media addict, among other addictions. Which means I had no control of media. I watch TV, watch it. If I sat down there, I'll just watch everything. And I got to the place where, in order to change that, I pulled the plug. And we didn't have television for you. Now I've got it back in my house. It's interesting that now I've got a full-blown, all kinds of TV, all kinds, but there's such a discipline and an ability to value that I'm watching, this one I'm not. I spend more time reading than I do watching things because values are very, very clear now. So the decision making and the capacity to make that decision is much, much easier. But there was a season when I couldn't make those decisions, although my heart values were right. And that's where discipline comes in. I remember the first time I ran, June probably knows this, the guys who ran, the first time I ran, I thought I was going to die. My whole side hurt. I was overweight. Why? Because my values were right, but I was incapable of doing it. I need to get me a trainer. I've got to change this. I've got to change that. Okay, let's do it. I'm not telling you to run, okay? Please don't walk out of here and say, Pastor Joe is turning all of us to be runners. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's an element where I'm not good at this. I remember Ramon Garcia when I said, as a young businessman, I'm not good at the financial reading of my financial statements. I said, would you walk me through for the next 3 years until I get good at this? When I look at the financial statement, I can look at one thing and I know where the values lie. So I'm just saying, I'm treating you a tension of values are important, but there are times and places when it's not there, you're going to need someone and say, help me with this. Help me fix this. Or start reading on it. Okay? If you're not the kind who's really very passionate about your children, you might want to buy books on your children because that's valuable. Yes, we're going to see in a while. Back again in verse 24, Jesus repeats this for the second time. This must be an important thing. Because again, he talks about no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one or love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So there again, we find that whole discussion. that whole contrast. I think Pastor Paul was just telling me a while ago, Jesus employs a lot of contrast. And he was contrasting this this whole thing. And in the next page of that sheet I gave you, you'll find six circles that overlap each other. And in verse 6 and 24, I want you to look at the top line values, those three circles. And then you see the second line values, which is the bottom three circles. Now, in Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one or love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mine." Now, in the first top line circles, the three circles on top, write the word God on the very top circle, the middle circle. And then write the word money on the bottom middle circle. So Jesus is contrasting what is most valuable. He's saying God is infinitely far more valuable than money. And I like what Noel said about the whole one is controlled by supply and demand. Versus with God, you've got unlimited supply. There's a big difference between God and money. The Bible says money and wealth never satisfies. The Bible says God always satisfies. Right. In other words, there's huge difference. And I won't walk you through those differences, but I want to show you the employment of contrasts. Verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more valuable than food, or your body more valuable than clothes?" So now he's using another set of four different values. So on the left-hand corner of your top line values, write the word life. And on the bottom, write the word food. Now, how many of you, food's more valuable than life? Okay, that was my situation. It was a discussion about life or food. Now, Jesus is telling us what's most valuable here. God, life, versus what? Money and food. Right? He's trying to explain to you these are the six universal values of man. This is what you value. This is how you live. Believe it or not, this is how you make decisions. And then he says, is your body, put that on the third circle at the top, and your clothes. So it'll look like this. God, life, body. Obviously, we know what God is. Life can best be defined. The word life there is suke. And the word body there is soma. Soma is the physical body. Life is the life, the spirit. So if you use that as a definition, if your house was on fire, what's the first thing you take out of your house? Life. Anything that has life. I've asked that of people. If your house is on fire, what was the first thing you have by my passport? My computer, my laptop. Wrong. Life. After you brought yourself out and your family, you're going to bring out the dog because it has life. The fish. You're going to drag everything out that has life because life is more valuable than anything else. Your relationships are more valuable. That's how valuable it is, your relationship with God and your relationship with people that have life. And then your body. I don't care how spiritual you are, and I'll tell you this as a fact, you could be the most spiritual person in the world. If you get sick, you're not going to be very spiritual. Hard to be spiritual when you're sick. It's the truth. In other words, it's not a dichotomy, is it? It's actually an overlap. It's like the blood in your veins. You can't separate white blood cells from red blood cells and from platelets. You can define them separately, but you can't function with them independently. And very often, that's what we do with our values. This is the one value I'm going to do today. Actually, it's a scale. You actually have to go through that. It actually operates all in harmony. That's why your heart has to be so right. That's why you need God, because that balancing act is not that easy. You're going to need Him every day. Does this make sense? Because this is at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, these are the values. God, life, and body, money, food, and clothes. Walk over to Market, and what will you find? Money, food, and things people wear. You walk into a mall and you think about the amount of stuff people wear, from makeup, to lingerie, to socks, to shoes, to trinkets, to accessories. It makes sense that Victory plants churches in malls, because that's where the values of people are. That's why they're all there. Why are people all in the malls? Because that's where their values are. Imagine if they walked there and they found these values together with those values, what would happen to the church? Wow. Huge. If you had God and life, if you had God and life without your body, what you're going to have is an unhealthy situation. If you have God and body without life, what you're going to have is a rigid situation that has no relationships. If you have life and body without God, what you're going to have is a worldly situation which you don't want. If you want to sustain life, you need all. Within that top line values, you still have a hierarchy of values. That's why you read your Bible. That's why you pray. That's why you seek God. That's why you worship Him. That's why you give Him the first tenth, because He's ultimately the most valuable. That's why you love your wife. That's why you love your children. That's why you build relationships. And that's why you stay healthy. And that's why anything else other than that is really, at the end of the day, far less valuable than you think. Hello? Richard, any thoughts? Huh? This is important. This is if you have a scale like this, this is how you think. This is how you operate. It's easy to make decisions. It's easy to lead. It's easy to look at something and say, nope, not that. It's a waste of time. And you can further break this down in your own personal relationship with God. Remember, you only have 24 hours in a day. By the way, if you read Matthew 6, it grinds down to that issue of time. Now, having said all of that, let's not forget that these are also values. And here's where it really gets tricky now. Because you cannot live life without money. So in other words, we really don't have a lot of time for a lot of things. Because you shouldn't only be good at this, you should also be good at this. Now you realize, whoa, you've been throwing a lot of time away. Because you cannot live without money. In fact, if your air conditioning stops, I doubt if people will go to the services. Not that we just want them to go for the air conditioning. Are you here? All of a sudden, life changes when you understand, okay, these are the values. Try being spiritual without money. Try telling your staff, we're not going to have pay this month, and watch how spiritual they get. You don't want to talk about money? Okay, let's not talk about money. Let's talk about values. Try telling your staff, we're not getting bonuses this year. I don't like discipline. I don't like time. I don't like this thing. It's hard. No, we're not talking about those things. We're talking about values. Life is a value exchange. If you want to play the game where the world comes to the Church of Jesus Christ, you've got to exchange those values and teach them the right values. Try telling your son, I don't have money to pay tuition for you right now. Let me see how spiritual your wife's going to get. Clear so far? Food. We still need to eat. Everybody said, you're not a Filipino if you don't say amen to that. That is a value. It's not the top line value. It's not the biggest in the hierarchy of values, but hey, I love to eat. In fact, I love to eat good food. I'm very picky about food because it's a value. I actually enjoy eating. I just know that in the hierarchy of values, it's actually number 5. It's way down there. Clothes. I find it interesting. If anybody can answer this for me, because I haven't figured this one out yet. Why not house? Why clothes? I have my own thoughts, but I used to ponder that. Why would Jesus use clothes and not house? It seems like clothes are more important. It sounds like you probably could survive without. Yeah? You can't go out of the house without having clothes. You're stuck in your house. That's a good answer. I like what Pastor Paul said Sunday. How do you say that about we were naked and unashamed? And then you said, they're going to have to put on their clothes on at some point, especially when the children came, or else it's all going to get weird. Can you imagine an entire family walking around naked? It would be weird. Let me put a twist here. Can we say this is about economics? Can we say this is about our cravings and the things that we enjoy? Can we say that these are the ones that represent our excellence? The only way you stay in the mall is if you're still excellent. Buy clothes, you buy things, you wear something that is better than the other one. Higher quality, better price, excellent in every sphere. Can we say that? That at the end of the day, people value something that is economically correct. Something that they enjoy and something that's excellent. Can we say that? Rather than just saying clothes. Is it possible that people are driven to churches because they see God, they have small groups and relationships, it's a healthy, not a burnout situation where people use them, and it's something that they actually enjoy, something that's economically sound and works, and something that's excellent? Any thoughts? June D. Noel, tahimika. Any thoughts? Can we say that? That when you look at people's values, go to a mall. What mall was it I was in? I was in Mall of Asia with my wife for Valentine's. You would think I'd be smarter than that. But she wanted to go ice skating. And she wanted to make sure we had the photo in the heart. But because she is valuable. even though I didn't exactly like the idea of driving through both ways, I would. Why? Because it's a value. Life. And then I saw a store, and I told my wife, I asked the girl, what was the store there before? And said, it used to be a Chinese restaurant. I said, oh yeah, now I remember. Why is it gone? It just didn't make it. Could it be that it didn't make it because the economics didn't work? Or it didn't make it because the people didn't enjoy it anymore? Or is it because the reason why the people and the economics didn't work was because it lacked the excellence? Which one is it? Is it the excellence that causes people to stop enjoying, and because people no longer enjoy, they no longer come and pay? Or is it possible that all these three are like the first three, that they actually overlap each other? And so now you've got six values, and you really, really need to have a discipline on time if you want to take this to the next level. Right? Jeffy, any thoughts?
So far,
okay naman. If you have economics working and you have enjoy working, without excellence, you've got mediocrity. It's just a matter of time before people stop making it economically viable, and it's just a matter of time before you stop enjoying either. Because when the money's gone, it won't be enjoyable. If you've got economics and excellence without enjoy, what you have is burnout. You don't really enjoy what you do. One of the greatest blessings I've had, except probably for 3 years of my life, maybe 3 years when my business went down, but the greatest joy of my life is I actually enjoyed most of my career life. In fact, I brag to friends and family, I say, I'm so blessed because every morning I can't wait to get to work. That's my current state today. The reason why I don't come late is not because I'm corporate, as people say, it's because I actually enjoy working. I love it. I love ministering to people. I love being excellent. I love studying that Bible. I love it. I love every minute of it. I read Psalm 128 to Psalm 150 this morning, and I loved every minute of it. Prayed for Kabul, prayed for Egypt, came here excited. Couldn't wait to jump into the meeting with Pastor Steve and my counseling appointment with that businessman. And I loved it. It wasn't a drag. It wasn't hard. It was enjoyable seeing that guy walk out of my office, and having faith in the midst of a falling marriage makes my day. Fasting for this class to be here is very enjoyable. I'm actually turned on. I'm actually very high right now. I'm enjoying myself. This is not work for me. That's my prayer for you. Why? Because if you don't enjoy it, you can't sustain it. But if you enjoy it, you most likely will become excellent in it, because it's like Pastor Ferdy and Pastor June running 102 kilometers. It's only about two things. It's either they enjoy that or they're crazy. So you decide which one, okay? I mean, you're not going to run 102 kilometers unless you enjoy that or you're crazy. I would rather think they actually enjoy it. Right? And we enjoy different things. My prayer is that whatever your ministry is, you actually enjoy it. My prayer is if you're a lead pastor, you actually enjoy getting up there and preaching that word. And if you're a discipleship pastor, that you actually enjoy making disciples, regardless of whether people notice you or not. That you actually love, that's what I love about Pastor Bernard, is he loves doing funerals, weddings. I'd die if I did that. But if I did that week in and week out, but he loves it. I won't die. I just have a hard time. But this I love doing. So it's us finding where our zone is. But we are, so I'm not prescribing what you're going to do. I'm describing to you what the values look like. I'm not prescribing to you that you should do this and do that or run. Maybe yours is not running. Maybe yours is swimming. Maybe yours is walking. Maybe yours is mountain climb. I don't know what. But you best enjoy it, because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to sustain it. It won't last. And if you've got enjoy and excellence, but no economics, you're going to have poverty. Still won't work. And so as leaders, we've got to understand that. Before we even talk about vision, is this clear to us? That these are universal values. This is how it works. And then what's my role in there? Clearly, this whole discussion, Matthew 6:26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Interesting, isn't it? That our value does not come. It's like art and real estate. It's like art, when you see somebody paint this horrible abstract of a painting, and somebody looked like threw a can of paint into this canvas, and now they're selling it for 1,000,000 pesos, and nobody wants it. And then some billionaire Ayala walks in and says, I want that, and all of a sudden everybody wants it now. Because the value is not in the painting, the value is in the one who valued the painting. Stocks and bonds are like that. Currencies are like that. Currency exchanges go up. Stocks and bond values go up because not just merely because of the direct value, but sometimes because the London stock market valued that share in Singapore, the value of that stock went up. In much the same way, that's how it is with us. Our value increases not because we're valuable, but Jesus, who is most valuable, values us and died for our sins. The Father, who loves us so much, valued us so much that he sent us what was most valuable to him to pay for our sins. Amen. Critical to understand. God is a God of values. Is it possible, he says, verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat. Is it possible that the reason why people worry a lot is because their values are not clear? Any thoughts? Bom. Is it possible that the reason why people worry is because, where do I start? Where are my values? And then you add so many other stuff that people add here that are of no value or little consequence, and in many cases actually depletes value. Depletes health. Depletes relationships, depletes their understanding of God, depletes finance. Any thoughts? Pastor Ferdy.
Pastor Joey.
Yes.
Clarification on the consequence of excellence and economics shouldn't be burnout.
Excellence
without
and
the enjoying factor.
Na switch lang.
Na switch lang. Yeah.
Enjoy
your lifestyle. Yeah. Yeah, na switch lang. Yeah. It's, if you don't enjoy, you'll burn out. That has consequences to the way we manage church. Staff. One reason why I tell my staff to come on time is because I want them to go home on time. The primary reason why I tell people to come on time is because I want them to leave on time. I hear people talk about me and say, you know, he's just so corporate and so businesslike. That's not the reason. Far from it. It's because I want to go home on time. I want my staff to go home on time. Because if they don't enjoy their time with their families, I can't sustain the growth of the church. In the Christmas party, the wives of my staff came to me, his wife, his, not your wife, Jen, they all came to me and said, I'm just so glad you are my husband's boss. Why do I make those decisions? Because they're value-based decisions. They're not arbitrary. They're based on clear values. They're not just because I'm a businessman. In fact, it has helped me as a businessman. When I see staff hanging around here late, I actually go and say, go home. What are you doing here? I don't need you here. I need you home with your wife and your children. I need you to rest. I need you to sleep. I need you to exercise. I need you to eat right. And I need you to be back here so that you can do this again. That's a value-based decision. Yep.
Can you also say that value is something that you need, something that you want, something that's given? For example, when you look at the first, the money, food, and clothes, that's something you need.
Yeah.
You need that.
Yeah.
But when you say economics, you want to enjoy, you want excellence, that's something you want.
Yeah.
It's something you're passionate about.
Yeah.
That's the category. Love that. The category of want and the passion.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
And then the value of need, something you cannot live without. You cannot live without food. You cannot have.
That's a tension.
Budget. That's a tension.
That's a tension of need and want. Need is less powerful than want. It'd be your wife cutting down on liquid soap so that she can buy a handbag. Okay? Because one is a need, the other one is a want. That's where you want your children to be. That's where you want your disciples to be. You don't need to make disciples. You want to make disciples. Now, here's the balance. I don't want people to go to church because they need to. I want them to come to church because they want to. But here's the leadership balance, and here's where discipline comes in. I don't always feel like I want to. When in the days that I don't want to, I need to. Get it? That's how it works. I don't always want to sit in that chair, but because I'm disciplined, I will sit there. Yes.
I guess, Pastor Joey, the challenge for us to really balance need and want, for us to be very effective in reaching to the thousands that we are really believing God for, is to really get them first at the level of their want.
Yeah.
Provide excellent service. They
right.
enjoy everything. And then, once we hook them there, we begin to give them, you know, teach them understanding the valuing what they need. The life, the good life, and then body.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely. Actually, the truth of the matter is they all come together. You can't dichotomize that. Some people, this will appeal immediately. Some people, this will be. So my point in saying this is these are universal values. As a leader, your job is how do I create that value and deliver that value? In which case, there are many things I shouldn't be doing, and there are a lot of things I should be doing. When we were reorganizing, the reason why we separated Victory, worship services, discipleship, pastoral services, missions. The reason why we separated all of that was because in order to deliver all of these values in each of these, you can't do it the way we were doing it. It ain't going to happen. Yep.
Yeah, I think the word balance, when you look at it, you don't want to balance it. You want to manage. Because tension, you don't balance it.
Yeah.
You manage the tension. Just like the ambiguity of Matthew 6:9, do not store, but store. Parang, ano ba talaga? Do not store, but store. So me, he is trying to give you ambiguity right there. But as a leader, you cannot choose either one.
I'll share a word, though. Maybe the word manage is not the word. Maybe the word is scale. Balance is, here's the problem with balancing. Problem with balance is you've got two weights, and the way you figure out the weight of this is you have to have a counterweight. Now, that's good if you're wearing a 5-pound piece of meat. Then you take another five pounder and you figure out the balance and the weight. But what do you do when you're trying to weigh a mountain? What will you counterbalance a mountain with? You can't. So balance is not the way to go. The way to go is scale. So what is scaling? Scaling is to have clear values. What's a scale? A scale measures what? Values. So you scale. What's a scale? It's a three-way thing. You've got the big platform, you've got the lever, and you've got the little weight. And you scale, you adjust. Okay, this morning I have to read, I have to walk, I have to run, I have to eat, I have to kiss my wife, I have to... You scale the whole day because your values are so clear, you can adjust. You get it? I won't eat that, that's not healthy for me. I'm going to eat that, I'm going to do that, I'm going to talk to this guy, that's the relationship, I've got to do this, it's my job, I've got to call my wife now. You're scaling the whole day because you're operating with a heart that's values-based. So everything you do is values-driven. When you walk and get a coffee, it's not because of the coffee, it's because of the walk, because I want to spend a little time alone with God in the middle of the day. Everything is values-based. When I'm doing that, I'm still operating on those values. It may not look like values to you, but to me, those are values. So I'm not prescribing to you how to do it, but when you realize the six universal values and the disciplines that need to go into that, then you create your own based on those values. And the decisions are not about balancing. These balancing acts are not, they're not fluid. They're hard. Okay. That's not where you want to go. You want to be fluid. You want to scale. I'm on my date with my wife. I'm fixing that value. And 5 minutes later, I'm praying to God and saying, Lord, help me. She's mad at me because the flower wasn't blue or something. Whatever. In other words, I'm scaling. I keep scaling. I'm texting my son. How are you doing? You don't change hats. It's like your blood. You don't say, okay, now white blood cells work. Oh, stop. Red blood cells, next. Oh, stop. Platelets, next. No, it's fluid. It's all working at the same time. And when you start thinking that way and looking at values, you start saying, okay, that's not valuable. That's not valuable. That's a waste of time. Why am I even doing that? As a leader. Any other thoughts? John, you look like...
Question. What do you do when you see your small group member or your church member valuing something they don't need to value?
Create value for him. Kasi you can't impose heart. Yes. So you've got to change his heart. So you create value. Who said that? Mark, diba? If I can't get you to love God first, then I'm going to get you to first value your relationship with me. And that value may come in the form of you and I exercising together. It's fluid. It's not... study. I'll meet you at this time. No, it's fluid because at this point he's clueless. He doesn't know what his values are. But you know what your values are. And you know how to use those values to your advantage. Case in point, that businessman. How do you win him? Because his main value is his marriage. So I win him there. Once I win him there, I'm pushing him there. I don't have to worry about that because he's a super triathlete. He's stronger than me. So that's not the issue for me. I'm just saying it helps clarify for you when you make a decision. Okay, I can actually take that walk now. I should be reading that book now. I should be. And then it, whatever is in the periphery, I call this leadership of the dump. Leadership of the dump. In other words, you look at stuff and dump that, dump this, dump that. I mean, you just don't need it. It has no value. There's just some things that I don't need. I mean, you think about, I researched my height and my weight, and I figured out, I think 2,100 calories a day, and I won't die. I'll probably be healthy. So when I start looking at it, I said, there's a lot I don't need. It's cheaper, improves the economics, It's healthier, improves the body, gives me more money, which makes me enjoy more. It's just, once you get into the values mode, it changes a lot. Okay? Any final thoughts? 5 more minutes? Again, at the back of that sheet, I've got a few questions there. Maybe the last question is what I posed there is, which one do you tend to neglect? You know, we all have our favorites. Some of us, our favorite is, I love reading the Bible. So it's God, 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 God. I want to worship. I want to pray. The whole day I'm just praying. I'm just in the presence of God. Yeah, but your wife hates you already. Or your kids don't want to see you anymore. Or you're so unhealthy. Or you don't have money. So, is God involved with you when you are generating income? Of course He is. Here's what I tell my sons. When you run, you don't run with your body. You run with your spirit, soul, and body. In the same way that when you read your Bible, you don't read with your spirit. Try reading your Bible without your head. You can't, because you read. It's never a dichotomy. Dichotomies are for the express reason of definition, not for life. In living life, there are no separations. They come together. Okay? Mike, you look like you had something. Anthony, you're quiet. Rodnell, no thoughts? No thoughts from you, Belt? No values? We were just talking about your building today. You know, the weight. We've got to inspect the building because we just found out that these guys are, how many? 1,400? 1,500. 1,500? No, but for one service and the number of people jumping, we're going to have to send structural engineers to check and make sure. It's amazing how all the churches are really growing. I think we're about to enter a different season in the history of our movement. I think we're about to see, and I think it's tied up to this nation. I think this nation is about to walk into destiny. And it's not that we should be feeling entitled, or I believe that God's raised us up as a movement for this hour. I believe God's raised us up because of just the quality of the people that are leading this thing. You guys. I think God's about to really launch us. And I think the next 25 years is going to be critical. I think the other critical thing is the next layer, because we still know each other. The day and time will come when there's going to be hundreds of churches all across the city, and you're not going to know pastors. And you're going to have to be a bearer of the culture that we've kept for the last 26 years. Each one of us needs to be a bearer of that. That with one look, they'll say, okay, I know that guy. I know that. I know that value. I understand that. I'm merely explaining to you what you know. You live this way. I'm merely clarifying to you so you know, okay, that's what this is about. This is what I've been trying to figure out. Because that's Christianity. Christianity is not just us being eloquent preachers. It's a life that's full lived. When people see you, wow, he represents God. He loves God. He knows that Bible. He's got a great marriage. He's got great kids. He's got great relationship with people. He's healthy. He's got his finances squared away. He's excellent. He's enjoying life. He doesn't look like he's burning out. He looks like he's actually thriving. Now, if you see somebody like that, wouldn't you want that guy to be your pastor? Of course. Why? Not because you demanded of him, but because that's his value. It's automatic. Okay? Thank you.